Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Let's quickly take our declaration of understanding, our habit, anytime we want to discuss the word of God, because that's the first thing we are going to do today, and then we'll continue the prayers. All right, let's go.
Now I declare that
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Please take your seats. All right. God is good. There's a series of prayer teachings I began. Well, today will be the second day on it, talking about how to tap into God's life constantly, or drinking of the life of God all the time. All right. Okay. So now we are going to just continue on that. We'll go to the second part of it. Let's go to the second part of that particular discussion. Now, to start today, let's just open to the book of Job, chapter 36. Somebody asked a question, how do we worship? I said, we'll talk about that quite a number of times as we are teaching, so we'll just go over it again today. All right? Please go to the book of Job, chapter 36. That's where I'm going to take my text of scripture from to start today's teaching. Now, I'm reading into 37, actually, chapter 36 from verse 26. I'll read into 37. Now, because it's quite a long one that I'm going to read, I will therefore jump once in a while just to save our time. He said, behold, God is exalted, and we do not know Him. The number of His years... Now, this was Eli who was speaking, talking to Job and his friends, or his other friends. All right? He's one of them. Behold, God is exalted, and we do not know Him. The number of His years is unsearchable. For He draws up the drops of water. Now, listen to this carefully. They distill rain from the mist. That is, God draws up the drops of water, and rain is distilled from the mist. When the clouds pour down, they drip upon man abundantly. So, can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thundering of His pavilion? Behold, He spreads His lightning about Him. That is, lightning doesn't just occur. It is God that spreads His lightning about Him. And He covers the depths of the sea. By these, He judges the peoples. He gives food in abundance. All right, rain falls. The grounds are they produce abundantly. And it is He that is giving food in abundance. He covers His hands with the lightning, and commands it to strike the mark. His noise declares His presence. The cattle also, concerning what is coming up. Please notice that. He said, verse 31, by these mighty acts, He nourishes the people. That's New Living Translation. Giving them food in abundance. Now, Elihu said, my heart pounds as I think of this. It trembles within me. Listen carefully to the thunder of God's voice as it rolls. Okay, I'm reading this thing. Let me just continue. New American Standard. At this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place. Listen closely to the thunder of His voice and the rumbling that goes out from His mouth. Under the whole heaven, He lets it loose. Please, for certain reasons, can you pardon me? I need to move to New Living Translation. Is that okay? Verse 2, it said, listen carefully to the thunder of God's voice as it rolls from His mouth. It rolls across the heavens, and His lightning flashes in every direction. Then comes the roaring of the thunder. Verse 5 says, I just jumped a few lines, God's voice is glorious in the thunder. We can't even imagine the greatness of His power. Notice verse 6, He directs the snow to fall on the earth and tells the rain to pour down. Then everyone stops walking so they can watch His power. The wild animals take cover and stay inside the dens. The stormy wind comes from his chambers, and the driving winds bring the cold. God's breath sends the ice, freezing wide expanses of water. Notice that it is God's breath that sends the ice. He loads the clouds with moisture and the flash with his lightning. The clouds churn about at his direction. They do whatever he commands throughout the earth. He makes these things happen, either to punish people or to show his unfailing love. Please notice verse 13. That God makes these things happen. It is either to punish people or to show his unfailing love. He now says to Job, pay attention. Stop and consider the wonderful miracles of God. Do you know how God controls the storm and causes the lightning to flash from his clouds? In verse 16, it says, do you understand how he moves the clouds with wonderful perfection and skill? When you are sweltering in your clothes and the south wind dies down and everything is still, he makes the skies reflect the heat like a bronze mirror. He says, can you do that? So it was rebuking Job here. Let me stop reading here, all right? Just to introduce the message I want to share with us today. We're talking about worship, right? And that, please, I need to go over this again. Worship is not for God's benefit. I will say that. It's for whose benefit? Ours. It's the worshiper that's benefiting. It is not the person that's worshipped. That's the way God is. You that come, all right, if you will come to worship, what's happening is that you are exposing yourself to the radiation, the light from the Almighty. The way you tap life is to constantly be exposed to the light from the Almighty. Please, this is something a lot of people misunderstand about God. Sometimes, you know, one day I told somebody, well, just out of friendship, all right, somebody I had known for a while, you know, so I just said, for certain reasons I felt was appropriate, let me invite this woman to come and listen to the word of God. And the statement she made to me, I just smiled. The statement implied as if I'm interested in swelling the people that come to Kingdom Word. It was not a bad thing, though. It was a bit subtle, like, you know, I can't be relied upon to be regular. I'm like, I don't know whether you get the point. I said, my sister, let me just explain something to you. When you do come up, I said, there are two halls. We have a main auditorium, like the, where we are in now, the main hall, and we have an overflow hall. Of course, all of you here know that, and if you follow us online, that's why I stop once in a while for people to come in. You don't just walk in when you come in. You sit on the other side until the bouncers open the gate for you to come in. Well, I don't like people trooping in while I'm speaking, so I pause, people will come in. So I said, of course, if you need to leave before the end, I encourage you to sit on the other side. If you have to attend to children, I said, please sit on the other side and stuff like that, just not create any disturbance. So I said to her, I said, my sister, please, sit on the other side. Don't let me even know you came. I hope you're getting my point. I said, join us on Kingdom World Radio. Join on YouTube. I didn't know how to explain that. I said, my dear sister, you're not doing me a favor. So this, I can't count on. I said, hey, wait. It's out of the point, too. For certain reasons, I couldn't invite you all this while. But certain reasons now made it appropriate. Now, let it not be that you claim to be my friend, sort of, and the most important thing I share with people, I never offered you. I keep on telling people, I say, see, I've seen people have taken offense with me before. I say, hey, excuse me, who are you doing it, people? Who? When we come to worship, that's what I'm talking about. See, when we're exposing ourselves to the word of God, See, there are different kinds of preachers. Now, I'm not trying to be proud. Oh, no, it's not about pride. There's no pride, self. I'm saying I'm not trying to say I'm better than other people, all right? But I'm one pastor that recognizes that come walk. You know the way we say it? I want to say it properly now. You are speaking pidgin. I want to say, bearing aburo bian roru. You understand what I'm saying? For those who don't understand Igbo, I've just told you now in Igbo. Look at the way Obinna is looking at me. I know you only speak Portuguese, so let's leave you out of this discussion. All right, that is, for those who don't know, I got it right?
Yes.
Praise God. Tongues and interpretation. That's how it is with God and worship. Worship is not for his good. When you are exposing yourself to the word of God, let me say this again. And worship, they go hand in hand. You are being transformed without realizing it. When you are worshiping, you are being healed without even realizing you were sick. Please, I want to say that again. As one preacher, I used to call my wife's friend, because he used to pray what he called miss that mess. He said, you can miss that mess. That is, there's a problem coming up ahead. There are things you will do today to prevent that problem from ever manifesting. So my wife used to call him miss the mess. So who's on TV? I would say it's miss the mess. Now, that's what worship does. It heals you. You don't even know you are sick. It solves a problem you don't even know will come up. I hope you're getting my point. Why? When you're worshiping, you are drinking of the life of God. I've been saying this for the last few weeks. Okay? Unto you with the Son of Righteousness. Malachi was explaining. Arise with healing in his wings. I said, when leaves come out and they open during the day and they look, let's use the expression, they worship the sun, they are the ones tapping something. The sun is getting what? Nothing. I made a statement the other time that the sun releases more energy in 1 minute than the earth can use in a whole year. When I finished, I went to check. They say it's not like that. It's more than the earth can use in 36 million years. Even that, I'm not sure. I think it's either 36 or 90 something. Anyway, in a few dozens of millions of years, that's the amount of energy the sun releases in 1 minute. The part of it that hits the earth, of course, not all of it hits the earth, just a small, tiny fraction. What hits the earth in 1 minute? I think, anyway, you can work that out. Most of it, of course, goes into the whole solar system. So that's why you can't help this sun. And this sun we are looking at is even small in comparison to how great God is compared to us. But this sun, compared to the needs of the earth, is a small thing compared to how great God is when compared with us. God is very great. We can't help him. Please, I'll preach this again. The only thing you can do for God. No, let me put it like this. Anytime you make his creation glad, he's glad. You can't burn an incense and God will smell it per se himself. It can't reach where he is. That you give an offering, it's a sweet smelling savour. What makes it sweet is when God looks and sees how your offering blesses somebody else. Blesses his cause. And his cause on the earth, again, is the process, the organization of people's blessings. For example, redemption. Why do we preach Christ? It's so that people will believe and be delivered. So if I give money to the preaching of Christ, I'm still helping people. That's what excites God. That's what excites our Father. Please, let's get that point clear. That is what worship is. Anyone that's not worshiping is killing himself, is killing herself. You die like a plant shielded from the sun. You take a plant, you take a carton and cover it. Light doesn't get to it. We all know what happens. You come after some days, it has withered. Even though you've given it everything you have, but the sun is not hitting it. That's how worship is. I explained that when you see the 24 elders and all the people around the throne and they are worshiping, please don't ever think our Father is worship hungry. The only thing he's, pardon me to use the word hungry, the only thing he's hungry for is to see people blessed, to see people sustained. The Bible says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. People have to be upheld. Things have to be upheld. Even after the son spoke and it came to pass, is my own English good? I don't use the word speech, all right? Not the words. It's the fact that he's speaking, all right? That speech, all right? No, I don't want to say speech. The speak from his mouth is resounding. I don't want to say speech because you expect words. No, it's the blast of energy. It's resounding to keep things sustained. So those who come out to worship, they are drinking their portion, because you must understand this life, there's a portion for each person. Each person has a portion in that tree of life. So they are drinking of their portion of the energy coming from God. Please don't forget that. We've talked about it. I've been explaining this again and again for some time now. So what is that worship really? Now, worship manifests, according to a message the other day, it manifests, and most of the words the person was explaining has to do with the position of the body. All right? For example, to bow down, that's worship. Is that okay? To lift up your hands, that's worship. Do you get it? To lift your head up, that's worship. However, you must understand, God does not look on the outside, but he looks on what? The inside. So even though these words have outward connotations, but it's what those descriptions actually imply in the spirit, that inside that really counts. So when you're talking about bowing down, it's not just the falling down. Even though we do fall down, we do rise up and put up our hands. We do stretch forth our hands. Men everywhere ought to pray, lifting up what? Holy hands. We do lift up holy hands. And all of that is worship. But the real thing about it is that those who worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. So it is not physical, all right? Even though it manifests physically. The other day, my wife and I traveled. Of course, we had to, take flights, then go, even though it's a shorter distance, but longer time because of the road, because we had to connect and all of that. In fact, there was a time when we were coming. Now, this is just gist. So the person was going to drive us back to the airport in Abuja. He got a message that the road is totally blocked. So they had a meeting, discussion that, what should we do? He said, go and take the alternative road. Another route to Abuja, all right? So the brother was supposed to drive, said, that he doesn't like that road, though. He said, the road is very lonely. That is where bandits used to gather. When he said that kind of thing, you can imagine how encouraging it was. If you know what I'm saying. So at the point that he got a small signal that we can use the main road, but that the road is blocked, but that he'd rather spend a few hours waiting his turn there than passing through that lonely one. So I said, okay, fine, let's go. Then on the way, I told my wife, come, let's pray that God will open the road for us, that we won't have to stay longer on this road than we did when we were coming. Because when we were coming, we slow down here and there, but not anything significant. All right? So we joined our hands, we're sitting at the back, we prayed, and when we got to that bad area, one funny thing happened. There was some official, small convoy, all right, that was coming. And the car we were using had a bit of flashing light and all of that. Our guy just joined that convoy. And that their convoy was a real one. That when they get to a place, they jump down, you see, secrets, with those that are funny guns. They come out looking very serious. Make it long story short, this is how these guys cleared the road for us. We're just following them behind. I said, bro, follow our convoy. We passed that place with very little, and because I had an SUV, The bad areas, it was not a big problem for us. And they too had a few SUVs. We just joined the SUV queue. All of flashing lights. Now, you see what I'm talking about? So we did all of that. Then we got only for us to sleep overnight. And in the morning, we rushed to the airport early to get up. We had our flight that had been shifted by like 10 hours. That kind of, yeah. 8 hours, yes. Even though we had a 1 hour delay. So initially, of course, my wife was upset. I was upset that what was upsetting me is that she would let me just relax from my hotel room and be flinging. But after a while, I just remember, look, let's be giving thanks. So I actually deliberately sat down at the time, begin to give the Lord thanks. All things work together for good. All things work together for good. So after a while, I just remember one of our brothers said, hey, come, oh boy, are you in town? I sent him a message. I called, he didn't answer. I sent a message. He called me back shortly after. Ah, what's going on? I told him, he said, yeah, Pastor, I just left the airport. Have you ever been to my office? No. So make a long story. We took a taxi, went to his office, and he was so glad we came. All right? Because we prayed for him, prayed for the office, prayed for everything. And in fact, I told my wife, I said, this is why the Lord delayed us. Needed us to see this man and minister to him, and he ministered to us also. So it was a very beautiful arrangement. We came back. So as soon as we entered our house, my wife was not even there. Maybe she heard me for the first time. Entered the house, everything was in order. I'd been gone for a few days, my wife and I. Entered our bedroom, the children had gone in, cleaned everywhere. It was prim and proper, like Olorioku is coming back, you know, that kind of thing. You know what that means? You let just say the landlord is coming back. Let just summarize it. So I got there, I so appreciated the whole journey, and believe me, I had fun in Kaduna, preaching to the people. I preached, in fact, one of our brothers said, this is Pastor Banky's heaven. Because I had time. I spoke for a total of like 9 hours. Yeah. So, it was just a very beautiful weekend. And going was smooth. Even what looked like obstructions on the road, God turned it to a blessing. So as soon as I entered my house, you know what I did? I fell on my knees and put my head to the ground and said, Lord, thank you. That's why I'm going with the whole story. I just thought of everything. I got on my knees. And I didn't just say one flippant thank you. I literally, you know how Muslims pray? Yeah. It's something like that I did. Knelt there, put my head down, said, Lord, thank you. You kept all our vehicles, whether it's a car, going to the airport, whether it's a plane, going to Abuja, whether it's a car, driving us all the way to Kaduna, where we're going, coming back. I reminded the Lord of how he opened the way. It became like a big joke. We're laughing. Those guys, it's as if he just came to escort us through the jam. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Everything. Our brother was waiting for us at the airport here, picked us up, dropped us at home. I looked at the whole thing. And when I got to where I went to minister, I see testimonies were dropping one after the other. One brother said, I just saw the flyer 30 minutes ago. He left everything he was doing and ran down. I heard all kinds of testimonies. At the end of the day, I fell on my knees and said, Lord, thank you. Now, what does that thank you mean? It means I understand that I'm not responsible for safety. The pilot is not responsible for safety. The escorts that moved us through that traffic jam, they're not responsible for opening the road. Do you get my point? God just sent them to go and do a work for him. I recognized that, all the testimonies I heard, people I didn't even know knew me, they were being blessed by the word of God that we are preaching from here. I knew that it was not my doing, but it was his doing. Are you getting my point? So I was saying to the Lord, this is you. It's all of you. And none of me. My family and I was yesterday. We were all praying in the morning. I said, everybody should remember it is all Chukwu. Sorry, those of you who can't interpret our tongues, you should visit in Nogu for a short while. That is just God. If I was teaching them, maybe I should just draw it for everybody. I said, learn to ask God for things. Something led to it. That's not you. Ask God for things. When he has done it for you, don't ever forget to acknowledge that it's not you, but it is the Lord. That's worship. See, no matter how God solves your problem, He can use your intelligence, supposed intelligence, your wisdom. He can use human help. He can make forces around, physical forces, economic forces, just change to help you lift you from one place to another. Never give the credit to any of these things. Never. If it's wisdom that you use, just know that's divine wisdom. If you use human connection, just know he sent a man of his purpose from a distant country. I hope you're getting my point. Now, you will see where we read just now. He said he creates the storms. He creates the winds. He makes the clouds. And you know what Elihu said? See, sometimes, where is it now? He said sometimes it is to bless people. Verse 13 or chapter 37. He said he makes these things happen either to punish people or to show his unfading love. Now, there's one major disaster on this earth that happened a few days ago. How many people have been following it? I'm looking for those. Some people are looking surprised that anything happened on this earth. I'm so ashamed of those of you who don't know anything happened. Because the last count now is 1,000 dead. When they say 1,000 dead, it's identified corpses. The rest are declared missing. And there are more that are missing than that are dead. So when the glacier broke in the U.S., they recorded an earthquake. That's how massive the shake was. It was not an earthquake. It was glacier that broke and crashed down the hills. Ran into a body of water, lifted so much water that people didn't have time to get away. Or no, because it's modern day, so there's a lot of CCTV footage, all right, things like that. Ah, at the point I watched one of them, I saw the people, they saw the water and they started running. And the water just came, covered them with mud, everything. And what you must have seen about that greenhouse. I don't know many of you seen it, that remains standing. In 24 hours, I've seen more than 5 analyses of why it stood. What does that tell you? Lies. One man said, it's good engineering. They sank good pillars. Now, I said, how did you know? It's a building you don't know. As soon as you saw it, you have produced a YouTube video, put it on YouTube, and if you see the rendering of how the pillars went down, a building this bugger does not know. I like one guy's comment. He said, whatever you say, the engineer, he said, whoever is inside there, now, listen to what he said, though. He said, it's very close to Buddha. He said, I think he knows Buddha personally. Now, that's a God he knows. But the person was just saying that, don't tell me this engineering story. Another analysis, one said, what happened because was that as soon as the floods came, burst the walls open, left the pillars, thereby reducing the impact. I said, so the other buildings, go. I said, when God has showed mercy to people, now so story they be. As of this afternoon, they are still blasting walls to try and reach over 900 people that walk in tunnels in the hydroelectric power system. The main entrance have been blocked by debris, by mud and everything. They are blasting walls through walls, blasting holes through hills and walls, hoping they can reach them because the time is running out. When I looked at the whole thing, if I like one thing, Dami posted. He said, those of you said that you don't need to pray. Say, better start praying. Because this one, technology failed everybody. There was one I heard of also interesting. They said, the children themselves, they said, a school principal managed to evacuate everybody in the school. The last children said they were evacuated. They missed dying by 10 seconds. He said he had less than 10 minutes to evacuate the whole school onto higher grounds. So if he had not answered his call. So the last children said that 10 seconds was what they had to enter into safety. That wall of water, mud, debris, everything. In that building we're talking about, I saw cars banging against it. Water was carrying, buses around the building. And people were on top of it. They were looking. You couldn't go anywhere. They're just praying that this building won't come down. And it held. Human beings, I'm going to sit down, analyze all of these things. and the analysis will be physical. There was one man, I don't want to mention his name so I don't have to concern myself about records, but you can guess who it is. A black American, very prominent physicist. He runs commentaries on everything. So recently, I think it was this year or last year, somebody asked him whether he doesn't believe in God. I found out yesterday or 2 days ago that he was raised a Catholic. Somebody said, "You're a Catholic?" He just said, "I was raised, that I grew up as one." Essentially, look, I've dropped all that thing. But he acknowledged the fact that he grew up as a Catholic. So, a few years ago, I think last year or so, I saw his interview. It's very promising. He's always there talking and talking, which is very sad because, you see, he's very intelligent. He's very, you know, he understands things. In fact, he analyzes technology, astronomy, you understand, and stuff like that. It's up to date. I mean, he's a physicist. All right? He's into advanced physics. So he's very intelligent. So they asked him, you don't believe God? He said, look, that what he's trying to say is that as science, listen to this, advanced, that they kind of began to understand things. So this concept of God became no longer necessary. He said, for example, thunder was Zeus. He said, bacteria was a plague. What was he saying? That now we know that diseases are caused by bacteria. Thunder is caused by lightning passing through clouds and moisture-laden air. And the clouds are generated, the lightning is generated by, if you know some physics, it's a discharge of electricity from a one high voltage area, positive to another one that's negative between the earth. He says, so now we understand. So it's like he doesn't lie. He said, but the idea is that understanding has come. Essentially, God is no longer what? A good explanation for those things. In philosophy, they call it the God of the gaps. That we insert God into where we can't explain. So the God we serve is supposedly what they call, and it's one of those people that subscribe to that theology or to that philosophy, that he's a God of the gaps. So once you identify bacteria as spreading from one man to another, once you identify Ebola as spreading from one person to another, you no longer call it a plague. By the hand of God, you call it an infectious disease. The day I saw it, I said, God, how foolish can human beings be? We just read from here. Eli was explaining. He said, guys, forget that thing. He said, the clouds churn about at his direction. Eli was not saying, we don't know what's going on. We are saying, why is it going on? Yesterday, my daughter and I were having, I was giving her we're teaching the house, a lesson on, school stuff, all right? She asked me one question. So I looked at her, I said, my friend, okay, I was asking some questions. So why does this happen? So she gave me the purpose. It had to do with heart contraction. She gave me the purpose. I said, my friend, that's not what I'm asking you. What is the mechanism? So I made the joke with her. I said, why is the kettle boiling water? I said, number one, you can say because I want to drink tea. Or you can say because I went to the kettle and I pressed on. Or you can say electricity is passing through the coils in the kettle. And I said, look, these are different explanations. I said, why could be the mechanism? Why could also be the purpose? Why could be what? Origin. The fact that you have understood mechanism has not removed origin. Eli was saying to us here that you see the clouds, they churn at his direction. You know the charges that produce electricity? That's your problem. Why did it produce electricity? Why? The God we serve is not the God of the gaps. He is not the God of the gaps. We know that when plagues happen, it can be because he's angry with people. So he will speak and bacteria will be released. And they will start infecting. And let me tell you something. Those things are sustained by spiritual power. A word has to go forth. I mean, we know, we are Christians, so we believe in the scriptures. There was a plague open in Israel. David numbered Israel and God was angry. Yet when they had the plague end, that was why God didn't bother. If you go and check the people of Israel, there were physicians in Egypt. Israel didn't have.
Because they saw Moses send away plagues. There were plagues there. But David, see, then David wanted to end that plague. He went and offered a sacrifice at the threshing floor of Arauna. He bought the place. Later on, a temple was built there. The point is that he saw the angel with a sword in his hand. And when God accepted the sacrifice, and when that angel sheathed his sword, the plague went down. I'm talking about worship. I know what I'm talking about. So remember my American scientist who's telling me, speaking English? He's doing the exact opposite of worship. What he's doing actually, all right, he's taking the glory of God and putting the glory of God on another God. And that God is science, which is no God at all. That God, so-called God, is nothing but the instrument of God, the true God. What is worship? This is worship. When we see such a calamity befall the earth, glaciers crashing down, shaking the earth so much, somewhere far away, it was recorded as an earthquake. And they revised it and said, no, it's not an earthquake. It was glaciers crashing. Moving so much water in an instant that at a few hours ago, they had counted over 1,000 dead bodies and they are looking for more than 1,000. So when we see such things, we will look and say, he makes these things happen either to punish people or to show his unfailing love. That is worship. So you can see such a thing without getting up from your seat where you are watching the news on television, you begin to worship. There was a time a tower fell down. You heard of the pool of Siloam, right? In the Bible. There was a tower there too. It fell one day and killed people. And when they told the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he said? Except you repent, you will likewise perish. Some people annoyed Pilate. I don't know exactly what they did. And the soldiers came while they were offering sacrifices. And they slaughtered everybody. And the Bible said they mingled their blood with that of their sacrifice. And they came and told Jesus Christ, in summary, he said, except you repent, you will likewise perish. What was he saying? That was the wrath of God manifested. Of course, they saw the tower fall, either the earth shook, or one crazy engineer was responsible for construction. And they used cheap imported steel. No, there was no steel that time. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's what happened. He used cheap imported steel. And we can arrest him, we can lock him up all we want. But the verdict of the Lord is, or was, except you repent, you will likewise perish. So when you see such calamities happen, when you see such disasters, you sit down and look and say, Lord, have mercy. Once you say, Lord, have mercy, that's called worship. Did you catch what I said?
Yes, sir.
Because you have seen everything, but you said, the Lord did it all. Please, let me go over this again. Christians, can you lead the devil out of your worship? You said the plan of the devil for this country. Let me tell you the plan of the devil for this country. Let me just tell you. I can tell you, is that everybody will continue to sin. Everybody will continue to deny Christ Jesus. And because of that, the wrath of God will come upon their sins. Because Jesus, the name of Jesus is mercy. Now these days, who do we call mercy? It's not women. You go bump again, name her mercy now. But if not a boy, you know we call her mercy. You can call the boy something, but not mercy. You know, we have now called mercy to a female name. She lighted the person whose name is mercy. It's Jesus Christ. His name is mercy. Maybe the girls are closer to Christ than the boys. Now, when you give it to those boys, that's how they'll be shutting the whole maternity ward down. But the girls will just cry, meow, meow, you give them small water and just keep quiet. So that's why they call them mercy. Well, the name we call the boys, Andrew. The Lord is good. So mercy actually is the name of Jesus. That the one I say that he's the mercy of God. So when people reject him, you know what the Bible says? Their house is left to them what? Desolate. You see, people have sinned. See this country? Let me just tell you, human beings have sinned. When people tell them, well, this country, we don't know what's going on. Should I tell you what is going on in this country? Forget APC, NDC, ADC, ABGA, PDP. Forget all those people. They are not the problem. Let me tell you what is going on in this country. God is actively showing us mercy because we deserve worse than we are seeing. What we are experiencing in Nigeria, people like to complain. You want to know the truth? When I look at human beings, I say we deserve worse. It's just that God said, I will not bring forth the iniquity of Sodom and Gomorrah upon them if I find what? 10 righteous. So people who are righteous, who are praying. Now, righteous does not mean, listen, let me tell you, righteous does not mean they never do anything wrong. Some people are saying that, hey, am I one of the righteous ones? I can help you to become one of the righteous ones. It's not hard. Right? It is number one. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and constantly plead for mercy. And as God shows you your iniquity, be repenting. To be one of the 10 righteous does not mean you have to be perfect. It means in today, just do these things I've said. One, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Two, constantly plead for mercy. And three, as he reveals your shortcomings to you, repent of them and ask for grace to live a righteous life. Then God counts you. Those are the people that he counts. And he spares the land. Because if he didn't do that, you think we have seen trouble? Help, you know, let's use Africa as an example. This country is not even one of the most troubled countries. It's just because people, grass is always greener somewhere else. Sometimes I read the news, something, there was one I read the other day. School bus collided with a truck. 20-something people died, school children. Of course, you know the first thing you do? What's the first thing you do normally? No, what's the first thing you do when you read such news? Where? You quickly check where. When they now show you that, oh, it's East Africa, your mind will calm down. Not as if it's good, but when they tell you, Enugu say, Enugu say, where in Enugu? Are you getting my point? Yeah, you panic. But when I tell you one country somewhere in southern South Africa or East Africa or no, immediately your mind calms down small, even though it's still not a good thing. Where I'm going, I saw one last week. I said, Jesus is my Lord. Then you open another one. This the mind collapsed somewhere. Hey, that was in Congo. Hey, go do. But first of all, it's not a no-go. So your mind first comes down. Then you feel sorry for Congo people. Where am I going? There's trouble everywhere. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
So when people want to tell you that in your country, I say, oh boy, when they ask what's going on in your country, they say, we are receiving mercy. When I saw that one that happened in Nepal, Tibet, China, I saw those things. Ah, Dami said, those who say that you shouldn't pray, see, you have seen now that at least prayer is holding things like this back. Even all you are feeling is power failure. You know those people now, they will wish for power failure if they will be alive. The hydroelectric power system that's feeding them constant power right now. Hundreds of people are trapped inside, trying to get them out. What am I trying to say? Explain. This is worship. Worship is anytime you see things like that, I know it doesn't sound good, you give glory to whom glory is due. You give thanks to God that, Father, I want to say thank you. That here we deserve worse. Jesus Christ said that you think they are the worst of sinners. He said no, but let me just tell you, except you repent, you will likewise perish. Say, Lord, I repent. Please continue to show us mercy. Give us the opportunity to preach mercy. You remember whose name is mercy?
Jesus.
To preach Jesus to other people. That is what? Worship. Yes, we raise our hands in worship. Because many people, they raise their hands in worship. Then when problems come, they worship science. They worship. Remember, who's the number one person they worship in Nigeria commonly today? Tinubu on the altar of APC. The head is Tinubu, the body is APC. That's the idol. And what do I mean? Everything, say, ever since Tinubu came to power, my life has not been the same again. God said, you see, thanks for, no thanks. Say, go ahead, confess the fact that you are what? A sinner. Say, was your life good under Buhari? He said, no. Say, when will you learn? When will you learn? Oh, I pray you will understand. That, see, blessing in this life, eh? Physical things, you see, they are not real. There's a way you will connect with heaven. Every government that comes into power is as if they send them to come and bless you. Others will be complaining, you will just be rejoicing. Everybody else will be complaining, you will be full of rejoicing. And this is why God is God. In the midst of the same circumstance, I mean, many people were in prison now. You know, some people went to prison, they got tuberculosis there, they died there. Some went to prison, prison riots, they killed them there. Joseph went to prison. It was only a stepping stone to his greatness. If you give birth to Joseph now, and he knows the whole story, he'll be asking his brothers, now, I want dream next week. You guys be ready to hear my dreams. You get where I'm going?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's eager to dream. So he'll be telling his younger brother, Benjamin, don't worry. You won't see me for a while. Don't tell our father. I'm not dead. These people, they will mean it for evil, though. But God will mean it for good. Don't worry about it. And his brothers are holding him. He will have to. It will be difficult to restrain himself from laughing. Because he knows that I will not die. He said, the Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. That's what he will be saying. When Mrs. Potiphar starts what she's doing, all her shenanigans, what do you think your bro will do? He will laugh. He will just be laughing. When he lands the phrase, he will be laughing. Why? Because he knows that they may mean it for evil. Mrs. Potiphar may mean it for evil, but God has chosen this pathway for his own destiny to manifest. Brethren, even if God doesn't tell you, know it by faith. That's what James meant. He said, beloved, count it all joy. I'm talking about worship. Worship is two things. Worship is two things. See, I'm talking about spiritual worship now. Not just physical worship. Remember I said, physical worship manifests as a result of those who worship in spirit. Are you getting my point? And in truth, and have no confidence in the flesh. Those are the things, that's what we're talking about. What is spiritual worship? Two things. Well, three. Let me just start with two. To praise God and ascribe to him the glory due to his name. If rain falls, we give him thanks. If rain refuses to fall and there's famine, we acknowledge him still. And we beg him, say, dear Lord, what can we do now? Suspend this judgment now. Have mercy on us now. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. That is worship. Anytime great things happen to you, you're on your knees. Even though it looks like a good look, you're going on the road, you're broke, you've not had the job in a while, your business is not doing well. And then suddenly, maybe friends gather together and they help you and say, let's help you restart your business. We're going to give you a loan of this amount of money. You pay anytime you like, no interest. And over the next 2 years, see, your business builds up, right? You acknowledge your friends, though. But first of all, go to church to say to the Lord, well, it doesn't have to be church. Are you getting my point? It can be in your house. But say, thanks be to God who raised help for you. Someone will say, that is why it's good to have good friends. That is idolatry. Then they are you're afraid to offend people. Well, it's okay. It's not as if you go around looking for offense. It's not as if you go around causing trouble. But times will come that you know you will offend people by standing for the truth. You still stand, though you will lose those friends. Because you understand that if God closes a door, he will open another one. The other day I was hearing Pastor Boy say something. It was very interesting. Never heard that from him before. You know what? He said the time he got financial breakthrough, that it means he got financial breakthrough. Can you believe this? Was when the person, one individual, that was giving 70% of all the money the ministry had, left. See what I said?
Yes, sir.
Of course, it was just a short clip I saw online. I didn't get the details. But I understood. He said, there was one man. Only him gave 70. He said, if we say we are going to do this, he's the one that's doing it. It's not us. Say only he gave 70% of all the money that the church had. Then the man came up to him one day and said, "Sir, I need to go. I'm leaving this ministry." You know, if you are not trained in such things, you will lose sleep. You will lose sleep. But let me tell you, if you are trained in such things, let me just tell you. First, Bible says, follow peace with all men, all right? As far as it depends on you. Be sure the man is not offended. Be sure. It's very important. Because you don't just want to behave as if, hey, we don't care. We do care. But not about your money. But about offense. We care about offense. We don't want you to be offended. However, if you go, we find that you needed to go. We won't lose sleep over it. There can be many, look, there are different things maybe God is doing. There was something he said. He said, that man left. You know, some people, you know the attitude. You know now, that was where they vex. You will see. God will remove the blessing from him. God that called him, see, now vex, it just pain you. If a woman refuses to marry, you are hoping she'll marry a bad husband to show that it was a mistake. Forget that thing. She's going to marry a man holier than you, more prosperous than you. A woman not going to marry you doesn't mean she's bad. It just means you are not going the same direction. I hope you get the point I'm making. You are the one giving reasons. The simple reason that it's not the will of God. Amen? Amen? Yes. And then she can find the will of God elsewhere. Yes. Back to the man. So that man left the church. He doesn't have to collapse. His time in your life is over. Obina, do you know why some people are always fighting, some pastors, when their members go to other churches? Because their money is going to other churches. I'm telling you, that is the opposite of worship. When that kind of man leaves, what do you do? The Lord brought him. The Lord has taken him away. What is it? Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's all. If indeed it was God that was supplying all your needs, which is what you are supposed to focus on. So if such a thing happens, one person giving you 70% of support suddenly walks away. What do? You put up your two hands and say, Father, thank you. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Not according to the goodwill of a human being. That is what? Worship. Worship is ascribing greatness to the Lord. That he's the one that's doing it. If he sends help, it's not like, it's good to have friends though. There are people that don't have friends and they've had more help than this. Strangers have helped them. The man that was beaten by robbers, that the priest passed by and the Levite passed by, who helped him? A Samaritan. He was a Jew. The people that his people despised, one of them helped him. The people that they served God through, the priest offered sacrifices for him in the temple. The Levite served in the temple alongside the priests. They didn't help him. A stranger came and helped him. There are some of us after speaking tongues and praying and praying and praying. It's a Muslim that will help you. You are looking for land for church. The guy who give you, he doesn't believe in God. He just feels sorry for you. He just look at this pastor. He said, this is in hustle, not the work. God just, you know, God can soften somebody's heart. God just softened his heart. He said, peradventure, he will do enough good for me to give him faith. He will just soften his heart. I hope you're getting my point here. So that's why you don't know. It's good to have people. One day, a man was preaching. I was hearing him on radio. I didn't know when I got angry, I started shouting. He said, if you don't have two people in your life that you can call in the time of trouble, you're somebody heading for disaster. I said, put off that radio. It sounds nice. It's an antichrist gospel. Who do I have in heaven but you? Upon this earth, I have desired nobody else. That's what the psalmist told us. What did Jesus say in time of trouble? If I wanted 12 legions of angels, I will ask the Roman centurion. No, answer me. I will ask the Roman centurion. I will call my connections in Rome. I will tell Herod to send me helpers. He said, I will ask the Father. You've forgotten that one with God is majority. Like the reference will say, the most powerful person, the most important person on this earth is that one that knows how to get his prayers answered. He says, more powerful than the head of a military, the head of a nation, and a billionaire. The one that knows how to get. The day I heard that, somebody was preaching. He's saying, this life, check your phone. Do you have two people that you can call in the time of emergency? I was so upset. I was with Pastor Corey that day. We're driving. I won't tell you where. Don't worry, it was not in Sokoto. It was not in Maiduguri. Somewhere else. Okay, we're coming from an airport. Somebody picked us. So the person was playing on the thing. So this man was preaching. I was so angry. I said, why do we Christians preach like this? Do you know who your God is? He said, you are a disaster waiting to happen. I said, what? When Elijah stood against all the prophets of Baal, who was with him? He stood there and called upon the name of the Lord. He said, let them know that I've done these things at your command. And like we say all the time, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Did God not answer by fire? I'm talking about worship. Worship is good when we're in church, we raise up our hands. But more than that, it's how we respond to every situation. We respond with God's praise, calling him the name that he truly bears. And when he does something in your life, you remember to give him thanks. See, I thought about it. Why would the Lord Jesus Christ, who could turn stones to bread if he wished, he did not, but who multiplied food at will for the people, 5 loaves, 2 fish, and he will feed thousands. And did it not only once, twice was recorded for us. One who there was no money on him, he said to Peter, go to the river, cast your hook. The first fish you catch, open the mouth. There's a coin in it for you. There's a coin in it. Is it not to pay for you and for me? Go and get it. Yeah, this same Lord Jesus Christ, every time you take a piece of bread, and listen, not only did he give thanks, the Bible was careful to record for us all the time. And John said, this was where he fed the 5,000 after he had given thanks. On the Last Supper, he took bread. He gave thanks. And then broke it and began to share. When the people were hungry, he gave thanks. Brethren, don't drink water without giving thanks. Don't put sweet in your mouth without giving thanks. Enter a rich person's house that spent hundreds of thousands to prepare a banquet for only you and your wife. I don't care who it is, whether he believes in God or not, whether he's a Christian or not. Bow down your head in his presence and thank God for the food. If it takes offense, don't eat it. It might offend him. He had better be offended now. Listen, somebody told me that they went to a restaurant somewhere in Europe. They bow down their heads before they pray. People gather to look. Let them look. Please, once they look first time, start going to eat in restaurants regularly. Kneel down, speak in tongues. Raise a song. I just want to be here where you are. Father in heaven, how we love you. What are you doing? I want to eat. Don't disturb other people. Stay in one corner. Raise your hand. Stand up. The other time when Rishi Sunak became the British Prime Minister. No, was it when he became British Prime Minister or when he became, is it Chancellor of the Exchequer or something? I don't know. Was it Chancellor of the Exchequer at the time? Anyway, when he held, the man go doing the juju. Forget I'm cutting the juju, but his own rituals as a Hindu. If the rest of us say, you know, in Europe, they don't like it, that's their problem. Rishi Sunak did it, and heaven did not fall. It was when he was prime minister. The man went there, he burnt his candle, he did his will. I don't know the one he said, but he did whatever he had to do. But if it's many of us Christians, we can compromise. No, it's a compromise. We are very good at it. Not to offend anybody. Rishi Sunak. That man, he blessed me. Rishi Sunak. He was not a Christian, but his life as the British Prime Minister blessed me. They asked him, what is a woman? He said, an adult female. They asked an American doctor in the Senate. He said, can men get pregnant? He said, you see, these are for philosophical questions. This depends. The senator said, please, doctor, you're a doctor? Say yes. You went to medical school? Yes. You're a specialist? Please answer me directly. Can men get pregnant? You know, questions like that are divisive. What is divisive? Rishi Sunak sat as prime minister in UK. I heard it. They said, what is a woman? He said, an adult female. If you are wondering why Donald Trump kept winning the election, that's why. Americans were tired. He was an adult specialist gynecologist. Do men get pregnant and she's blabbing and she couldn't answer? That's why Americans got angry and voted massively for Donald Trump that second time. Because many of them believed he was rigged out that second election. They said, this time around, we are ready for you people. Said the one in which an adult, a specialist doctor, cannot answer whether men get pregnant or not. He said, God help me. Said, that's an answer. I'm leaving my message. Yo. We're talking about Thanksgiving. Please, brethren, learn to give. That is worship. The world has trained us very well, successfully, to curse our food all the time. Unfortunately, most of it with lies. You know the lie of cholesterol? I can say it's a lie because I was in the center of it. I saw my people lie about cholesterol for a long time. The one that used to annoy me most, those who used to counsel mostly on diet, are not educated. You look at them. One day I was we're somewhere, a number of us, somebody was there arguing with me on food. At the point in time I stopped, I said, excuse me, please, are we aware that I'm the doctor here? You know, the argument, I was tired. I said, excuse me, please. I hope everybody is aware that in this small gathering, I am the only medically trained person and I'm a specialist. And not just am I a specialist, I specialize in the process of disease. I said, I hope you guys understand. The person was still arguing with me. The daddy, my little boy, he came and met me. He said, daddy, look, I should look at the shape of his calf. So I said, what happened to it? He said, is it okay? That the way his leg curved out from the knee and moved down. I'm looking at this boy like, I said, did you smoke something while I was not there? Because, like Jesus said, who told you were naked? I asked him, who told you? He said, no, he was watching one video on YouTube. I said, what did I just tell you in Bible study yesterday? Oh, that day, Bible, it was the day after. How many of you remember that I warned you people, everybody here, please, don't go to non-special, that on internet, they say, your fasting time. You look at the person. He's one guy practicing one Ayurvedic medicine from Tibet. He wants to teach you in Nigeria about your fasting time. He has never seen Onubu. He doesn't know what yam looks like. How can someone that has never seen okpa be telling you how to eat? In this country, if you have never eaten okpa, don't talk to me. I told him, I said, oh boy, will you get out of here? He said, sorry, sir, he left the room. The young man, nothing's wrong with him. He plays basketball every weekend. He has come to collect money. Daddy, please, I'm going to the stadium. He marches like a soldier, and he has never been to Nigeria Academy. Yeah, he's telling me that he watched a video. They said that the shape of his calf. I said, this boy, if I slap you. That's what the Lord said. Who told you you were naked? They want to confuse my little boy that his legs are not straight. Let me bend it for you. You will know. I will tell you to pick pin until the legs bend. Nonsense. Who told you you are naked? Every time they carry your food, one day, somebody was teaching how to eat oil. And I was there. And this person happened to be a doctor. So I pitched my friend who went there together. Said the oil our fathers ate that time. You know, now this oil, now they settle. I was looking, I said, Kai! This palm oil that has done nobody anything. Now they want to destroy it now. Who told you you are naked? You know what I'm saying, all of this? So many of us, when we get our food, we don't receive with thanksgiving. We receive it with examination. Which kind of seasoning did they use? And so you go move on like this. Is it Japanese? What's the name of that one? MSG, monosodium glutamate? Or is it the Korean type? You sniff it. How well did they cook the meat? The vegetables, did they overcook it? Because now they want to destroy all the folate. You never start the food, though. You are still examining it. 5 minutes later, the angels have gone out. God has told the angels, leave this guy alone. Whatever he sees inside the food, let him manage it. But somebody else doesn't know everything you know. Just enter, they put the flow. He said, Father, I want to say thank you in the name of Jesus. You know your son was hungry. This one you have provided. Oh my God. Thank you. They are eating half of the food. They said, did they eat? Excuse me. I started eating. They know they discussed where they chop. And according to Kenneth Hagin, by faith, he has removed all the bad things and put the lacking things inside. Talking about worship. Don't ever eat your food with complaining. Don't ever eat your food without starting with thanksgiving. Once, I think it was a revelation I did not know. One day I just struck me. I said, why do we complain about food? Don't we give thanks when we start eating? Some of my friends said, so I won't complain if the food is bad. I said, I just told you that. Is it right to complain after you are giving thanks? He said, I not agree that one. I kept quiet. Then I read, you know, there are keys to spiritual power. I read about Smith Wigglesworth. He was hosted in a home. He gave thanks, he started eating. Then the host started making apologies that, please, oh, sorry, we're supposed to put, let's just say salt, that we're not sure of the amount of, as he was saying, he just told the man, please stop, we have given thanks. Smith Wigglesworth told the man, please stop, we have given thanks. He said, please stop, we have given, I'm talking about worship. Many of the foods we eat, we are poisoning them with analysis. As an analysis. The painful part of it for me is from experience, I've seen that most of the times, even the same science that led us astray has led us somewhere else. Now, we don't know whether it's not astray. Do you get my point? They told us, don't eat egg for 30 years. They said the cholesterol is a problem. So they said, if you want to eat egg, don't eat the egg yolk. And I saw people throw away egg yolk. I could not. My spirit refused. I ate my yolk. I ate everything. I said, you guys forget these things. I hope you are aware. The most nutritious part of the egg is the yolk. Are you aware of that?
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, I've not confirmed this, that it has everything your body needs minus vitamin C. I've not confirmed that. But somebody was analyzing it. Yet the whole world told us, throw it away. It will clog your arteries. After 30 years, they say, oh, we're very sorry. We realize now that it's not going to do anything bad. In fact, you need it. I'm not seeing dietary plans that's telling you eat 3 a day, 4 a day. I say, I've been chopping the one I've been chopping all my life. I'm not going to change because of you. You want to know the truth? I ate my food with thanksgiving all those years. At the end, people are saying that, hey, and if you are listening to Pastor Banky, you should have listened to Pastor Banky. I say, you should have listened to me. I have more understanding than my teachers because his testimonies, they are my meditation. I'm talking about true worship. Thanksgiving. I say all the time, I won't die a day earlier than the Lord ordained. If you believe that concerning yourself, say amen to that.
Amen.
And God will not give you one extra day of a useless life on this earth.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Every day of your life, you'll be productive.
Amen.
You'll be learning more about God.
Amen.
You'll be working with Him.
Amen.
You'll be affecting people.
Amen.
You'll be manifesting Christ.
Amen.
Paul said, for me to live is Christ, that this service to Christ. He said, I would have loved to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said, but for your sakes, I choose to stay. That the productive service is what will keep you on this earth.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Every day you live, you will be productive.
Amen.
I need to pray for some people. You won't lie down and somebody will be carrying you up and down.
Amen.
No, it won't happen to you.
Amen.
If Jesus does not return, the day you go home, people will be surprised because they saw you yesterday.
Amen.
They saw you taking a walk. They saw you walking.
Amen.
They saw you preaching.
Amen.
They saw you counseling people.
Amen.
They saw you giving lectures.
Amen.
They saw you signing business deals.
Amen.
This tiredness and sickness and lying down on the bed. And for years you can't move. You can't help yourself. You are a burden to your family. That will not be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As a great grandfather, you will outrun your grandchildren.
Amen.
You will play ball with them.
Amen.
You will run down the street with them.
Amen.
Brethren, God does these things. So.
Yes,
I'm not doing wishful thinking. No. I'm telling you what God will do for you.
Amen.
Moses was 120 years old. His eyes did not become dim. His strength did not abate. He was still climbing mountains. Caleb was 85 years old. He was still leading a charge against giants. That strength, that spirit that gives strength to your body, that will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're talking about worship. What does worship mean? It's for me to acknowledge that it is not food. It is not medicine. It is not science. Or chuku. What did I say?
Chuku.
Say it again.
Chuku.
You must learn this all over the world. Whether it's Australia, or New Zealand, or North America, or Nepal, you will know.
Chuku.
It means it is God. It is God. That's what worship is. So occasionally, brethren, you rise up in the morning and you put out your hands. You face your window. You face a wall. Anyway, you know God is everywhere. Ezekiel, when he was going to pray, where did he face? He walked. For privacy's sake. I hope you're getting my point. When Daniel was going to pray, where did he face? Facing Jerusalem. Because he thought God was in the temple. Even though that time, he can't have bothered that time. A lot of the things has moved to. If you go and see Ezekiel, Ezekiel saw that the elders were inside the temple. They were worshiping his son in the east. I hope you're getting my point. It was Solomon that started this. If they will face this place, we are not facing their place. We are facing heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The temple has been broken. Jesus, you know, Jesus used to break things. You know why the Lord used to break things? People start facing them. Solomon said, if they will pray facing this place, God said, you have started though. So one day, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, oh boy, break that thing for me. One day, they built another one. God said, they've come again. Where are the Romans? Oh, prove that one for me. There was one story I read. I've heard it long ago. That temple that Herod built for them, that helped them modernize, was magnificent. So the disciples, they were telling the Lord, he said, see building. Whoa, they do work for this thing. Oh. Jesus looked at this and said, let me tell you something. Not one stone will be remaining on top of another. This is the Lord they play. See, let me just tell you about the Lord. Once he talk him, he don't cast, he don't finish. That's it. He told the tree, nobody will eat of your tree again, fruit again. People thought you'd go and post security guard. Sorry, you can't eat this fruit. The tree just died from inside. He said not one stone will be left on top of another. You know what I heard? The first time I heard this story, until recently, a few weeks ago, I heard somebody else analyzing it. That because, so some said they thought there was gold hidden. Another person said, no, that's not what happened. That literal gold was used to plate some doors, okay, and some items, so that when the place was set on fire, the gold melted and ran between the stones. So the soldier said, eh. So after the fire went down, they began to move the stones. Every scrap of gold had to be reached to fulfill the word that the Lord gave. Let's leave that one. So God came, removed the temple for us. Have you seen this funny doctrine that another temple is going to be built? You know, people are contributing money to build that temple. Can I just beg you? If you send shishi, a dime towards that, you are building a false god. God is not coming to a human temple. The temple is building. You are a piece of stone in it. I'm a piece of stone in it. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
We are what the Bible calls lively stones, living stones, being fitted and joined together. That's what he's building. Like I said, that's a smaller side. So you face any direction, but have God in your heart. You stand up, holy men ought to pray, lifting up what? Holy hands. And these things we have said, say them to the Lord. That is worship. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
These things we have been saying, say them to the Lord. Please, there are some, let me tell you something, God is curing idolatry. This morning in the house, what did we read in the Bible again? Isaiah chapter what? Was that 48?
Yes.
Eh? Yeah, 48. There's a particular verse we got to in the house. And God said, I will try you in the furnace. I will purify you like silver. Then he struck what he was saying. He said, normally people like you, and they destroy all this nonsense people are doing. I clean people out. But because I swore to your fathers that I will not leave them without descendants, for that reason, I will leave you. But you go believe by force. Yeah, that's what he said to them. I will squeeze you. I will choke you. I will pass through the fire until you beg. You know what I'm saying? So, Christians, warn yourself. This nonsense talk, many of us talk, I will explain in a moment, and take glory away from God. God said, let me tell you what I will do to you. You know, you have gone to believe. You went and baptized. Okay, let's speak it proud English. You went and you were baptized. You joined church. You called yourself born again Christian. You received the Holy Spirit. You joined the assembly of brethren. Say, forget it. By myself, I have sworn. The word has gone forth out of my mouth. I will purge you of every false god. I don't know whether you get my point. I will purge you of every idol. I will scrape everything that is unbelieving in you. If I have to put you in the fire, you will burn, but I won't let you die. You know what David said? The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. So David entered fire. He cried, cried. Let me die. God said, die away. I have not given you over to death. You will come out until I've removed every scrap of Egypt from your soul. This nonsense of worship, I've been saying it. Somebody say, are you not going for this thing? This Tinubu economy. God said, that statement, I will cure you of it. You think you are playing? I will cure you of it. For you to say, I'm not from this area. I'm from this area. I'm not black. I'm not white. I'm not. God said, this nonsense statements that you are making, telling people, I am not in charge of your life. Telling people that if circumstances don't agree, I can't work in you, I will cure you of it. I want to say something like that. Oh boy, it's not going to easy. Let me give an example. He say, ought to just leave it. Pastor Corey said, talk to one person one day. Okay, maybe you go somewhere now. You understand? Maybe you know that your house now. Maybe you have finished it. All right? And it's very big. He has how many rooms? 10. 10 rooms, okay. Big compound, 2,500 square meters. You understand? You paved everywhere, see lights, everything. Somebody now enters. And what is the statement human beings make? Money good, oh. Because if I hear that from your mouth and you're a child of God, I will so squeeze you, you will cry. So you're supposed to enter the place and say, bro, God has been good to you. Leave it like that. He said, there's none good but God. If you say money is good, God say, offense, idol worship. You enter the place and say, bro, This is beautiful. God has been kind to you. Say it like that. If you like it, say things like, the Lord will do something like this for me. There's nothing wrong with it. Because you don't covet your neighbor's goods. Abi? He didn't say don't like it. Say don't desire something like that. He didn't say so. Covet means to want to collect. The God that built one, you know, he can build like 5,000. If ordinary God, you know, somebody in Nigeria can build 800 and something duplexes. Allah, you can't know what I'm talking about. He's the one, 9 people. How much more God? If a human being can build 800 and something duplexes side by side, God can create earth and fully furnish it and give you one. The Bible says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. You think he has retired? Let me pray for you now. He will plant one for you.
Amen.
And he will place you there.
Amen.
Please, never get tired. You know, God doesn't charge for asking. Yes. God doesn't charge for asking. But he punishes for grumbling. You like that? You resist this kind of room. My mates were in America. Now, they won't be staying here. Because let me tell you, people who grumble like you in America, let me tell you what I do to them. You know, today I saw one video. Kai, I didn't have time to watch it because I had things to do. Just, you know, the way they just throw it in your face. They showed a particular street in America. And they say, what is going on there now? People who, all kinds of colos, drugs, all kinds of things. They don't, you see, adults just lie on the street, whole bag like this, suspended in the air. No, I'll show you the video. He didn't fall to the ground. He didn't stand straight. He held his bag. What we call a catatonic state. Some will bend like a fish. God says, see, these are your mates in America. Say, you want me to take you there? You say, no, Lord. Thank you. Where I am is fine. So let me not hear that nonsense from your mouth again. If you don't like the small room I put you inside, say, Lord, go and read Jabez's story. Do you get my point? Read the story of Jabez. Jabez walked in righteousness before God. He walked with a clean heart and he begged God, said, God, bless me indeed. I don't care how bad the economy seems to be. Please don't use words like Tinubu economy or APC economy. Or no. I command for you heaven's economy.
Amen.
God will make grace abound towards you like a river.
Amen.
He will pour prosperity towards you like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
Amen.
You know what the Bible says? He will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And abound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God hates grumbling, but he blesses worship. A true worshiper tells God these things. Let me tell you how you worship the Lord. The Bible says, as a minister to God and fasted. Have you heard that before? No, the apostles. All right, when they sent out Paul and Barnabas, the Bible says they were not. What are their names? Let's just read it. Acts chapter what now? Acts chapter 13. Yes, Acts chapter 13. So now they were at Antioch in the church there, prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manning, and Saul. That's the one Paul now. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. Please, let me just read that from the New Living Translation. He said, one day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Did you notice that? They were what? Worshipping. Now, let me tell you what they were doing. I know because I saw Peter do something like that in Acts chapter 4. When they began to pray, the first thing they when they would begin to pray, the first things they did, don't ever forget this, is talk about the Lord, talk about his power, talk about his greatness, talk about the things he has done. It's always the first part of prayer. That's what Jesus meant when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's worship. As they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Now, please, I think it is clear they were not on a 30-day fast. The way you and the way you do it these days. You and Obina. No, you know they do. Your baby is too shiny for somebody who goes without food for 30 days. How can you go without 30 days when John has not gone without food for 10 days? Huh? They learn work. And in, how you go pass Oga? Oga never do 10. How you go reach 30? Yeah, you don't do 10. If they look Jonathan. Jonathan. They were not on the 30-day fast. How long was this fast? I'll tell you. Just one moment. It was food time. They didn't leave the place. That's what the Bible meant. Take my word for it. Normally, one of the things that used to characterize their meetings was food. Commit, thank you. They came together and shared. They didn't put it in this one. That's why he said, as a minister to God. So, you see, they were not on a long fast. A fast was what they were doing at that time. Do you follow my point? Yes. Yeah, so they were ministering to God. New Living Translation said they were worshiping. Now, because of the way Peter prayed the other time, we know that's what they were doing. They were telling God what they knew about him. Part of worship, you know, I said three things, right? One, what was the first thing I said? Thanksgiving. That was the second I said. The first was praise, telling God, recognizing God's greatness and his works. That's praise. Thanksgiving is the second one. Telling God you acknowledge and are grateful for things he has done. That is praise. The third one, which I forgot, I said there were three, but I'll start with the first two. The third one, which is very crucial part of worship, is consecration. The third part of worship is what? Consecration. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That is worship. Father God, I lay down my life. I place my body as a living sacrifice on your altar. That is worship. I hope you're getting my point. What do I think these men were doing? I'll tell you. The three things. Now, analyzing like that is my opinion, but that they were talking to the Lord is fact. That they were telling God, because you see Peter said that, oh God, that made the heavens and the earth, who said by the mouth of your servant, they first told God, you are the owner. It's not the elders. You know, they said to the elder, yourself, judge for yourself. Should we obey you rather than obey what God said? I hope you're getting my point. So when people talk about God, when they are telling God about himself, they are worshiping. No, we started by saying that, whose good is he for? So when you say to the Lord, you, dear Lord, that made the heavens and the earth, what you are saying is that these people threatening us did not make the heavens and the earth. That's it. Look at the way Peter said it. Oh Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. That's ministering to God the Lord. That's worshiping. What they were saying, that the elders didn't make it. The chief priest did not make it. You are a living God, a speaking God. God that has promises. Who said by the mouth, said by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, you said, why did the Gentiles rage and the people devise futile things? They were talking about what God has said. We'll talk about that next time. But let's talk about as a minister to God, as they worshipped God, they talked about God's greatness. They talked about God's work that he had done for them. I believe they added that consecration. Do you know why? Now, this is extrapolation. Because at a point, the Holy Spirit said, all right, separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to do. I don't know whether you caught that. They worshipped. We said three parts of worship. Number one, praise. Number two, the third part, consecration. I believe, that's what I believe. That when they were doing consecration, that is, how did they do sing? That's your guy now. How did he sing that song again? Here I am, in your presence. Yeah. I don't want to spoil it, so. He said, do to me or do with me what you want. That's worship. So God said, did you say that? He said, we did. He said, okay, in that case, no problem now. Separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have commissioned them to do. How many people have risen up in the morning and said to the Lord, I'm not living for myself. I'm not living for my family self. That family I came out of. Even this family that you've given to me, this wife, these children, they are yours. My son wanted to go out. He came and said, I should give him money. I said, go and meet your mother. You know, the mother said, is he not your son? I said, no. He's my disciple. That I'm training him for the Lord. So take money from your mother. We play like that in the house a lot of times. I said, no, he's a junior minister. I'm the boss. I'm a drill sergeant. Getting him ready for the Lord. Lord, do with him what you want. Do you get my point? This household, Lord, is yours. How many of us wake up in the morning and put up our two hands and say, Lord, these hands are not mine to do what I like with. These hands are instruments of righteousness to serve you. Lord, this mouth will speak your word. There's one song my wife has been singing day and night. In fact, once you enter my house like this now, how does it go again? You've heard this song. Where you go, I will go. He said, where you call. He said, if I'm doing something and you move, I will abandon what I'm doing and follow. Please find that song and sing it until the song starts singing you. What I said now, what's the meaning? I don't know, but you get my point. That you will sing this song so much. See, consecration is part of worship. I believe that that's what they finished saying. Because things like that has happened to me before. They've happened to me before, things like that. You say, usually, it's when you go and hear dangerous words. If you don't want to serve God, don't go to church. What did I say? Have you noticed that if any man starts smoking the go, one place where you know go to church, if a girl starts following a man, she's not supposed to follow, the first way you will know, no go see him for church again. Do you know why? Once the word comes forth, you will stop nonsense. No, you can't come to where the word is, you will continue rubbish. So Satan will first tell them, don't go. And yet that Satan is very effective. I need to tell this story because it's happened to me many times. This is my personal, I'm like, as a minister. One day, one brother came to me, said, Pastor Banky, the Lord said, I should go and meet you and learn from you. See, those of you who say, the Lord said, be careful, though, because your own mouth, now they go take judge you. You have just come to say, Pastor Banky, I like what you are doing. I would like to just learn some things from you. You know, you are not under judgment. Said, the Lord said. So one day I saw him. He sat down as I was teaching. I never saw him again. The Lord, either you have learned finish, or the Lord didn't say again. So one day my wife caught the guy in one corner. You know, say, there are two types of human beings. There's the Pastor Banky type, and there's the Mrs. Banky type. Those are the two types of human beings. And I don't mean male and female, created he them. No, I mean, there are people that will just look at you and say, I won't answer you again. It doesn't concern. Now you come meet me, say, the Lord said. And when the Lord stops saying, I won't come and ask you. I will leave you. Type two human being are people that God sent for follow-up. My wife is like that. They will corner you and corner you in a corner. You know, they're in a corner, they're not corner you there. And I said, I thought you said the Lord said. Actually, what I meant was that my spirit was communicating with the Lord. Wait, you said the Lord said. Did he unsay or you are disobedient? When somebody like my wife will corner you, you either go to heaven or go to hell. Did you understand my point? There's no way. She said, he began to talk up and down. At the end of the day, my wife offered him one explanation. Not like offered it to him. Asked him, this is what is going on. He said, yes. Basically, if I hang around with you, I lose my position somewhere else. I've told you, people don't disobey God. They obey something else. Many years ago. Now, so my wife had this, one young woman around Hasha. That young woman heard me preaching word. She came for Bible study. Came a second time. Then I didn't see her again. Aye! I said, my God. I said, this is how Satan does. You know what Satan did? One man came, entered her life. So she had to choose between the word. And she chose the guy. I said, oh God. That's my wife's person. You know, I'm telling you all of these things. When we worship, it's happened to me, all right? You go to a place of worship. When you say, when you go and say, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And so you go, they jump. You say, consecrate yourself to the Lord right now. You consecrate yourself. You know the problem? God, they hear. He said, hey, so, first, that girl, here you know you can't marry her. You will wake up. You say, who talked that in? Because nobody, you start worship just now. I did heaven is my throne, JJ. You come to the earth as my footstool. You being consecrated. You don't consecrate. Consecrate. I answer now. You say, who be that? Who be that? So the best thing you look at, I was imagining things. Oh, Father God, if it's Tibet. God said, you are not going to Tibet. You will stay for Enugu. All I'm saying is that I don't want to see you in that guest house again. Meanwhile, you met her when she was in third year in university. Her course was 5 years. You've been spending money. You've been helping the family. Like God said, see, she been now you lose, no be she. You go, here I am in your presence. God said, I'm warning you now. This song you are singing, that is not what I want to hear. I am saying, you will not marry, what's her name? Eh? No, today is not Angela. Today is not Angela. Eh? You will not marry Mercy or Comfort. See, anytime you are doing worship, somebody goes quiet, say, what did the Lord say? You guys are there worshiping. Somebody just go, shoom, just tap. It's oh boy, as he answered. He can't answer, you say, he don't answer. There are those that they have planned. Next month, I'm going abroad. Then they mistake it. I told you, if you don't want to serve God, why should you avoid? Don't go to church. And not only church, don't let church come to your house. Because there are brethren who come to pray with you. There are curses that they give you. Once you just mistakenly follow those, here I am in your presence. Do with me what you want, or do to me what you want. God said, aha. You say we're traveling next month, Abby. Can I have that passport? I know you have told everybody your father had invested. Oh, God. Oswald Chambers said, the cost of discipleship is not what it costs you. It's what it costs those that you love. Derek Prince said, he had a grandfather that he loved and who loved him and who was dying as an old man of advanced cancer. He said, I believe I kept him alive with my prayers, hoping to see him one more time. And as the war was over, God told him, that's your pass. You can go home. Go and see your grandfather. Let me add words now because of other things he said. You return to your job in the university. You become a Cambridge professor. That's a good life. Or you can follow the path I've chosen for you. Which, now let me say it like this. You don't know what's in front. But trust, I'm in front of you. The road is, you know, is a valley. It has mist. You can't see the front. You can only see the back of the person leading you. You take it one step after another. And Derek Prince looked and said, what do I do? And let me just tell you, I've passed through things like that personally in my life. Don't rush to obey anything. When you rush to obey, you are springing up quickly. When persecution comes by the result of the word, you will wither away. So, Pastor Mark, what should I do? Go to the garden. Even the Lord himself, did he rush to the cross? They put the cross proceedings on hold while he was in the garden. All the proceedings for the cross were put on hold while he was in the garden. Enter the garden and pray until your heart almost breaks. Then suddenly, confidence comes upon you. The Lord has heard you. That's how they handle such things. You can't obey God to your strength. That song I was telling you that my wife fell in love with a few days ago. Get a song like that, plug into your ears. Sleep with the song, play. Wake up in the morning praying that song, repeating those words. Say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I don't know how the Red Prince did it. Finally. See, let me tell you, obeying God does not always make you feel good. It doesn't pay. Some of these testimonies we give, they don't work like that, though. It's in eternity you know what's right. You know what I'm saying, so? What's the normal thing we expect? God will now heal his grandfather. And then one day he will reunite with him like Joseph reunited with Jacob. Hey, it's good. It's, it pays to serve God. Not lie. The prince wrote, I think he wrote a letter, but make a long story short, he did not go home. The man died, and he never saw him again. See, there are decisions you make for the Lord. Anytime you remember it, 20 years later, you start crying again. You remember it 30 years later, you want to tell the story, you start crying. That's how deep the hurt must have been. Never saw the man. But God led him. Say, I've made you a teacher in truth, in righteousness, in faith, and love. Something like that. Give three words. Three of them. I gave four now, but three of them are inside there. Can't remember the exact three. He said, it shall be a spring. That spring shall become a stream. The stream will become a river. The river will become a sea. And the sea will become a mighty ocean. That's what the Lord told him. And he began bit by bit. Until, do you know, when you talk about mighty ocean, this has been gone now for over 10 years, more than maybe 15 years thereabout. But if anything, you ask me, I think the ministry has only grown. Its messages are everywhere, transforming lives till now. But God made a demand, and he gave it to the Lord. Three things we call worship. One, praise. Two, three. So let me end it here. I wanted us to pray together, but I hope you are blessed with the teaching. Yes. Because I wrote a lot of the praise of God down, which I had wished or had planned that we'll read together. But let's see, we'll be back. What do you do with the praise? You tell the Lord. You tell the circumstances around. I told us here before, the person that's talked about the most in the Bible is whom? I hope you know it's not Bola Tinubu. I hope you know it's not APC. I hope you know it's not Nigeria. It was not even Israel. The person talked most about in the scriptures in your hands is the Lord himself. Genesis chapter 1 alone, that name was mentioned, we counted the other day, over a dozen times. In the beginning, no, finish it for me. In the beginning, God does it. That's it. The very first line, in the beginning, God. You get to verse 2, the Spirit of God. Verse 3, God said. Verse 4, God saw. Verse 4 again, God separated. Verse 5, God called the light day. You go to verse 6, then God said. Verse 8, God called. You continue like that. I don't want to spend time. You will see, you keep on counting. God said, God did, God did. Dozens of times. And you are still in chapter 1. You go to chapter 2, by verse 2. By the seventh day, God. Chapter 3, then God blessed that seventh day. The day in which God rested. Three verses, three names, the Lord's name has come up three times. And throughout the Bible is like that too. By that you now add, you know, Jesus, Christ, the Son, And all those other appellations used for the Lord. You see, this is a Bible. This is your Bible. It's a book of the Lord, literally. Literally is a book of the Lord. But, you know, many people, their life is the life of Nigeria. Their life is the life of Bola Ahmed Tinubu. It used to be the life of Buhari. Buhari died now. Part of their life died with Buhari. Some people, part of their life is in Otuoke. Do you know where's Otuoke? Oh, you know, Bayelsa. You know what happens there? Good Lord Jonathan lives there. Because when Good Lord was in power, all they talked about was good luck by all kinds of names. Some people now, part of their life is in INEC office. Some part of their life is in Supreme Court. All eyes on the judiciary. Not on God. Why should our eyes be on God when we have court in Nigeria? Our eyes cannot be on God. I will look up to the court. No, do I look up to the Lord? No. My help comes from the court. Who joined the last hope of the common man? God said, I will soon show all of you, Pepe. Your last hope is the court. This is why thunder fires people. Your first hope is the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Your last hope is the Lord.
Amen.
He's the first and
the last.
Who's your first hope? Who's your last hope? He is the first and the last. Rise to your feet. And say to him, you are my first and my last. I need you to say that to him. Like I said, that is what worship is. You are my hope. You are my first and my last. Say, my help comes from the Lord. Tell it to the Lord. Say, my help comes from you, O Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Say, Lord, you are my hope. You are my help. Say, who do I have in heaven but you, O my God, O my Father? For that reason, upon this earth, Lord, I have desired no other. Lord, it is you I want. It is you I hope in. You are my maker. You are my God. The one I serve. That's the meaning of my God. When you say you are my God, it means you are the one I will follow. My life is about your will, not mine. Say to the Lord, I lay down my life on your altar. Say, the God that kept me alive, from the day I was born, you have been my God. When I did not know you were there, your angels watched over me. They were your angels. Say, God, no one but you. Say, God, the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me, for forgiving all my sins. Say, mercy, mercy, thank you for loving me. Mercy, thank you for living in my heart. Say, mercy, thank you for healing me. Remember we say, in worship, people are getting healed. Sometimes it's physical healing. Other times, emotional healing. People take hope away from people. They look and say, what remains in this life? As I see Nigerians running up and down, people who are blessed, hope has been snatched away from them. But you say, you are my hope. My hope is not Nigeria. My hope is not this government. My hope is not North America. My hope is not United Kingdom. My hope is not anywhere in the world. My hope is my Father who art in heaven. Say, my God, in whom I trust. Say, Lord, you are my hope, my God in whom I trust. The governor amongst the nation, the God that holds all things in his hand, the God of the rain, the God of the seas, the God of the clouds. Say, the God of the roads, the God of the air, the God of the seas. That's who you are. That's who you are to me. my God in whom I trust. Give the Lord thanks again. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. Oh, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. Say, Lord, I worship you.